and welcome to the Badger Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
Yes, good evening, Paul Sickle.
Hey, Paul. Impeachment. That's happening.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the trial thus far?
Yeah, you know, there's a guy I work with who, like, has it on all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, so fucking annoying.
I did watch a good portion of it last evening, actually, but when they were just considering all the rules.
I think I'd rather watch American Idol. Sorry, listeners. Yeah. America's Got Talent, how's that?
Right.
The Apprentice, there you go.
Yeah. Yes.
And I would tell Donald Trump, you're fired. which I think the voters might be ready to do, hopefully.
We'll see.
Despite, and the impeachment thing, obviously, as we've said before,
we know where this is going.
Wrong.
We know where this is going.
The Senate, though, is not going to pull the Apprentice move and say the magic words to
now,
Donald.
Let's just consider the hypothetical for a moment, though. I mean, the only way this ends differently than we've been predicting for, I don't know, a year, let's say, is if some wild and crazy news comes out over the next couple of weeks that is a game changer that convinces 20 Republicans to switch sides. I mean,
Two wild and crazy Czechoslovakian guys.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like,
the likelihood of that happening is so
clearly,
rare.
But he did seem to abuse the power of the presidency.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It seems pretty clear about that. Mm-hmm. It seems pretty clear that Congress allocated the funds, yada, yada, yada.
Well,
he
right.
went out, and that's a sign for the line if
we know,
pay attention.
We know what the blocking of funds for Ukraine, but they've tried to get information, they've tried to get documents, they've tried to get witnesses. They've been blocking every step of the way. And then they complain then that, well, we couldn't get our people. So the impeachment trial proceeds, and it will proceed over the coming weeks. This week is the House managers, Democrats, get to state their case. Next week there'll be the response from the administration, and then ultimately they'll probably put the kibosh on any additional witnesses, because that's what McConnell wants to do, and then they'll vote, and then they'll acquit him. And so there's some polls out that were a little bit intriguing, Paul. The
booing, I would say.
The CNN poll and the Survey USA.
SUSE, I like to call it. That's what the pros call it, SUSE, Survey USA.
The Survey USA and the CNN polls both had some interesting results when you look at the horse race come November. The head-to-heads, in particular, were interesting with the various Democrats.
They were favorable.
Yeah.
To the Democrats.
So the CNN poll had, in the head-to-head versus Trump in November.
And this are national polls?
These are national polls.
Mm-hmm.
Warren, 50%, Trump, 45%, Sanders, 52-45 against Trump, Klobuchar, 48-45. Buttigieg, 49-45, Bloomberg, 52-43, and Biden, 53-44. So both Sanders and Biden performed the
interesting
best
that Bloomberg actually... No, Bloomberg is up 9 and
yeah.
2. That's so interesting. Bloomberg's not viewed that positively because there's a lot of Democrats who view him with suspicion.
Oh, yeah.
What you're seeing is that hardening that you saw also even at the state level, the Marquette poll, where you've seen a lot of Democrats that are finally coming around to the whole vote blue no matter who.
Yes.
Mantra.
Yes.
What this is not capturing is the energy of disaffected voters, non-registered voters, so on and so forth, people that could actually swing a close race or at least change the margins.
So I saw the CNN results and then I was like, well, is this just an anomaly? Is it an outlier? But then the Survey USA results from a few days ago were similar when you look at the breakdown of the various candidates versus Trump. And it,
yeah, SUSE, right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Gabbard. Well, Gabbard's losing 39-44. Steyer is tied 44-44. Yang is actually up 2 on Trump, 46-44. Klobuchar loses 43-45, but then you get into Bloomberg, 49-42 over Trump, Sanders 52, Sanders 52-43 over Trump.
Whoa, plus 9.
Warren, 48-45 over Trump, Boot, 47-44, and then
plus
Biden, 50-43.
Plus 7. So the three old white guys, Bloomberg, Biden, and Bernie.
Yeah.
The three Bs.
Right.
All perform the best.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Survey USA results just to...
Three very different... They are all white guys, but they couldn't represent more different wings of the Democratic Party, in my opinion.
The Survey USA results, just to level set, January 14th through the 16th was when those polls were taken. The CNN results were from the 16th to the 19th.
Both showing the same results. They're not,
both polls are highly rated.
Yeah, they're not seeing... I do think that there might be a slight Democratic lean in their samples.
Okay.
And I think actually when you read off those results, none of the Dems were behind in the CNN. And Sousa has a reputation for being a little bit more even-keeled, but being very close to accurate, especially at the national level and in multiple states.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's one of the highest-rated polls. It is to, like, the national poll seeing what, like, Marquette's are to Wisconsin, basically. Highly rated, usually very accurate. You may not like what they show you at all times, but they're usually right on.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's interesting stuff. And, you know, again, polls are a snapshot in time, as they say. However...
And so what's the value, in your opinion, of talking about a horse race for an election that's about 9 months away?
It's a few weeks away until we hit Iowa, the Iowa caucus.
Oh, that election, yeah.
And these are results that the caucus goers in Iowa are going to take into account when they're considering who's the best suited
to
take
Iowa?
On Trump. I have been to Iowa. Not for a caucus. No.
I've done it twice. Yeah. Once as a volunteer, and once I did it. Yeah, it's completely true.
Yeah.
It's a liberal-leaning constituency. It's very white, although I was in a rural area. But it's very liberal, too. It's not Iowa in general. It's just Democratic Party caucus goers. Which means you have to have the guts to show up in person and actually stand in a corner of a room with a candidate. Like, it's a public vote.
Right.
So these are mostly, I wouldn't quite say they're partisan activists, but they're the closest thing to it. It's a very small percentage of the population caucuses compared to the overall electorate.
Mm-hmm.
So probably about 15% of the population will caucus in a given year. Just, I like the ethos of it. There's something very interesting about a caucus.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's, to some degree, a relic.
It's somewhat anti-democratic, too, because it's a public vote.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no secret ballot. It's a public ballot.
And it's just not as accessible to people, particularly working people, who don't have the time to spend.
Right, there's no absentee, things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's... Yeah. Anyway, February 3rd is the Iowa caucus, and then a week later we have New Hampshire primary, and then we have the Nevada caucus a couple weeks later, and then the South Carolina primary at the end of February.
So those
are the big four in February.
Even though, like I said, it's a liberal electorate, it tends to skew much more liberal than even like the average Democratic voter. One thing that I will say, even though that's true,
mm-hmm.
electability becomes paramount because it is a public vote. And you'll be having, like, it'll be like somebody has a big living room on a farmstead in some county, Red Oak County or wherever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
You know, 100 miles from I-35 and everything else. So, anyway, like, what will happen is you'll go in that room, Scott, and you'll be like, oh, I wanted to vote for Andrew Yang. And Yang will not have enough votes in that living room. Out of the 40 people that are there, he won't have enough to be viable. And so you and your wife were like Yang people, let's say. And people will beckon you, and they'll argue to you why you should join them. And electability becomes like the top dog. And I saw this with that was the thing with John Edwards. People were pitching in 04, I was there actually. And I was actually for Dean, and they kept pitching to try and... and they even tried to, steal one dean person to make the rest of the dean crew less viable so they could get all of them. And electability is like a big argument in these like caucuses. So it becomes a big deal. So the polls can miss what's happening on the ground because what happens in the ground actually happens in the caucus meeting.
Right.
And you know, it's oftentimes like it doesn't get decided until somebody actually shows up to do their participation. So
given the schedule that we just went over,
mm-hmm.
how do we see this playing out today? I mean, I guess nobody really knows what's going to happen in Iowa. We know what the candidates that are the front runners, what they need to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't know how it's going to play out. So in Iowa, Biden is leading currently based on the latest polls there, which is the David Binder Research poll.
Okay.
Biden's at 24.
That's Warren, the Iowa numbers right now. Biden's number one?
Biden's 24, Warren 18, Boot 16, Sanders 14.
And that was just one poll today. That,
yeah.
And others had Bernie leading.
Yeah, I don't know how this matches up with other things. But, I mean, Biden's leading, I think, in all the polls that have been taken recently in Iowa. If Biden doesn't win in Iowa, that's obviously a huge upset. Now, I don't know who else is best slated to win. You've been kind of preaching Buttigieg is the guy you're keeping an eye on in Iowa.
Yeah, that poll says all the more reason to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Biden at 24, Warren at 18, Buttigieg at 16, and Sanders at 14? Something like that.
That was the most recent poll.
Okay. Yes. So 14, if Sanders, who in other polls is leading Iowa, but let's just say he was at 14, just for argument's sake,
right,
in this exercise.
Yeah.
He actually wouldn't be viable in the majority caucus houses, which are literally our living rooms, school gymnasiums, you name it, daycare centers.
Mm-hmm.
He would not be viable in a lot of these places because you got to be at least 1/6, I believe, of the vote.
Okay.
And that would mean that none of his votes would count, and his supporters would be allowed to join other camps. That's what throws off the polls.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, let's just say this one poll is absolutely correct going in, there would be a big tug of war between Buttigieg, who would also be borderline not viable, Biden, and Warren.
Yeah.
And so my guess is what would happen is, in a scenario like this, Buttigieg would probably stay around where he is, most likely, maybe go up toward 20. Warren and Biden would go up considerably.
Well,
so in this scenario, and Biden probably win with 30-plus percent. Warren would be in the low 20s, and Boot would probably be about 20, and Bernie would be lucky to break 15%.
I mean, this is obviously a situation where it's...
That's one poll, though.
It doesn't help the cases for Sanders and Warren when they have to spend pretty much the next 3 weeks in D.C.
Right, right.
So
that's part of it, too, right?
I mean, that's a consideration. That's going to probably particularly harm Sanders, it looks like. But I think he's probably looking ahead to New Hampshire. So if Biden or Boot or Warren takes Iowa, then he's banking on New Hampshire, probably looking for a good showing in Nevada.
Right.
And then South Carolina, right now, you'd say Biden's the favorite there.
Now, full disclosure.
And then it's really, Super Tuesday, March 3rd, and that's a ton of states.
Full disclosure, I've been leaning a little bit toward Buttigieg lately. That said, I don't want to besmirch Bernie. I believe there are other polls that show Bernie in first place. And Buttigieg and Warren struggling for viability.
Yeah.
Usually Biden seems to be consistently above the 20% line. And I think that's the line you got to look at in these Iowa polls. Are they above 20%? If they're above 20%, my guess is that in almost every precinct they're going to be viable, which means they'll get votes. They'll get at least 15% from every precinct, in other words.
Bottom line, I don't think anybody knows what the fuck's going to happen in Iowa in a few weeks. It's like...
That's right.
It's wide open. It's wide open. I think New Hampshire...
I think you'd say it's those four.
New Hampshire's
I think
you'd more say it's predictable. Those four. I think Nevada's probably a little more predictable, but we still don't know what's going to happen there. South Carolina is much more predictable, I think, at least today. But Iowa is just wide the fuck
I think open. With Iowa, because that's the soonest, I think we can safely say it's going to be those four.
Yeah.
And
I don't foresee Klobuchar garnering enough support at this point in the game to make a difference.
She needs, I don't know what her financial situation is, but the only opening here would be a lot of money on TV right now with a thunderous ad campaign that connects her Midwestern roots to Iowa. If that could do it and play, you know, and be like, I'm one of the two female candidates.
Right.
And
but again, she's a senator, though, too, so she's going to be spending the majority of the next few weeks in the...
Yeah.
If she wasn't in the Senate right now, if she had decided to retire, probably be helping her
even
case
if
right
she
now.
Wasn't. I just haven't seen. Even if she'd say governor of Minnesota instead of a senator from Minnesota, I don't see her quite connecting on that level. Like, yeah. The other four, even Buttigieg, who's probably the... Even though I said I support him, he's probably the least likely to win. Let's be honest, okay? Even Buttigieg, they've all connected with voters at a certain level that I don't think Klobuchar has. Klobuchar's still looking for a constituency, and it's a little late to be looking for it.
I don't see it happening for her. But, again, we don't know what's going to happen.
Stranger things are happening.
This is,
it'd be a shocker.
It seems wide open, so we'll keep talking about it. We'll keep watching the polls. And
should we make a prediction, though?
Today, I think Biden might be hard to beat. But if Biden comes in, like, third in Iowa, that's brutalizing. That's really going to be hard.
I'm going to go Biden at 32. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Buttigieg is going to make a run. He's going to get about 25, and he's got financial resources. High 20s.
Yeah.
Biden low 30s. I think Bernie and Warren are going to battle it out right around 20 because of the viability thing and because they're in the Senate. And people are going to have second thoughts about the electability. It's a possibility that one or both won't even clear 20%.
Biden squeaks it out, but probably not with the margin that he would like. I'm going to say Bernie comes in second, actually. And Buttigieg third, and I think Warren fourth, and that's going to be tough for her campaign. Mm-hmm. But I think this impeachment thing right now is probably coming at a bad time for her. It's when she's lost the momentum. Bernie's support is kind of surging in the polls. And
I think Bernie might be peaking 2 weeks too early.
He might.
Because that was the thing I saw in 04 and in 08. We saw it too.
Yeah.
Well, it's both times, whoever's ahead 2 weeks out tends to not be ahead on caucus night.
We shall see.
So.
All right.
All right. With that.
Forward, folks.
Forward.